Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. What a privilege and what a blessed, precious opportunity the Lord has given to us again to be able to come together around His Word to enjoy His mighty presence. I am really so thankful. What an eventful last few months we've had through the summer. Praise God for the last series of studies that we've been doing and that we have revisited again on the uncommon reality or the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. That was such a blessed time, a blessed several weeks of just camping around the Word of God and studying on the concept and the principles of divine wisdom. Glory to God. I hope you joined us in some of the lessons. I hope you joined and you were able to receive. And I actually hope that you heard every lesson. And if you did not, they are there. Please avail yourself of them. Well, we we're back, and as we wrap up this year, I'm very excited to get back. And if you've been following some of our recent messages at Abundant Life for the last few months, this, especially since our Open Heavens Convention, this series of lessons that we're about to get into will not be surprising to you at all. And I hope you are as excited as I am. I am literally just chomping at the bit to be able to just dive into this and explore. As always, we prepare, we get before the Lord, we study, we prepare, we receive direction from the Holy Spirit. But I found out that in a lot of the services, when we come together, sometimes the direction is actually slightly different from the preparation. So I stay yielded and I ask that you be yielded as well. I hope you have your Bible with you, or whatever devices you use, whatever medium you use for the transmission or consumption of the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you to get your pens ready. This is exciting. We are going to be calling this, title this, Everything Holy Spirit. Everything Holy Spirit. And for the next few weeks, we are going to be studying together and getting acquainted with, being introduced and reintroduced to the most important person in the universe. Oh, what a blessing. I know you've studied, you've probably heard a lot of messages, maybe not too many, about the Holy Spirit. You've probably assumed a number of things, but our goal in this series of studies is to get more acquainted with Him, to just get into the Word of God and learn more about Him. And some of the things that we discuss may be things, will probably be things that you have heard before, but you will do yourself a great favor by keeping an open spirit, an open heart, and approaching this series of lessons like this is the first time you are actually hearing or studying together with any group of people, the person of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to title this Everything Holy Spirit. Wherever you are joining us from tonight, I'm going to ask that you please bow your heads and let's share a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for bringing us together tonight. What a blessed opportunity we have to be able to camp around the Word of God and to be able to share together in the presence of God as we study and as we learn more about and get reintroduced, and for some of us, newly introduced to the person of the Holy Spirit and everything Holy Spirit. So we yield to you. I pray, Father, I ask that you loosen my tongue. Help me to speak. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. I know my heart is indicting a good thing. I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, whatever platforms they might be joining us from or through. Let this be another life-changing series of lessons. Lord, our desire is that we know him more and more, that we walk more and more with him, we become more and more acquainted with him. And Lord, I ask of you at the end of this next few weeks, however long you lead us to study this, let each and every one of us have elevated in our understanding and in our acquaintance of the Holy Spirit. Help us to have deepened our intimacy, our relationship with him. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. We look up to you and we trust you. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I thank you again on whatever platform you're joining us tonight. Thank you for joining us. And praise God for his blessings upon you, your loved ones, your family through the summer months. And welcome again to this next series of Bible studies on everything Holy Spirit. Everything Holy Spirit. I should read a couple of things directly from my notes by way of introducing this series of Bible studies. I think that this will be very helpful. Listen to this. If you fail to become intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit in your earthly Christian walk, then your spiritual experience will be desperately insufficient, inadequate, and deprived. I'm going to read it one more time, and please listen to me. Listen to these words. If you fail to become intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit in your earthly Christian walk, then your spiritual experience will be desperately insufficient, inadequate, and deprived. Let's just break that down very briefly. So it is essential that each and every one of us become intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit in our Christian walk. We must not assume that we know him. Yes, I know we know about him, but it's not good enough to know about him. We must take steps to be intimately, more intimately acquainted with him. Because if we don't, if we are not intimately acquainted with him in our earthly Christian walk, then our spiritual experiences will be desperately insufficient. That means we will not be prepared for the things that life has prepared against us. We will not be prepared for the things that the Lord has prepared for us. And we will not be prepared to enjoy the things that the Lord has ordained for his children in this in this natural life where all of us are. I know that when we go to heaven, glory to God, we will suddenly attain unto completion. We would have everything we need. Amen. But here on this earth, we desperately need to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit. We are going to start out tonight in the Word of God, and I'm going to take my time and go slowly as I can. I'm not really in any particular rush to try to get somewhere. Sometimes I might close much earlier than usual, but I am committed to going for the next several weeks. I have a very robust and exciting, very instructional, informative, revelational outline that I'm following with the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting God that as we study together and as the Lord builds on one thing after the other, that our understanding and our revelation of this concept and of His person will grow. I was thinking about this earlier on this evening. It's very interesting to me. This is our year in Abundant Life. This is our year of divine everything, right? And I remember that in January when we got started, even though, you know, we had a slightly different plan, I remember that the Lord actually started us out at the beginning of this year on getting to know Him, becoming more intimately acquainted with Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. And we did that for several weeks before we moved on to something else. It is quite fascinating to me that as we get towards the end of the year, well, He's leading us right back to almost right back to where we started. And this time, He's having us study everything Holy Spirit. So, the very first set of things we're going to start talking about tonight will revolve around what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We want to look at together some of the most important words and experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding the Holy Spirit. I know we're going to be skipping things. We're going to move along. And there's no way this can be an exhaustive series of studies. It's literally impossible. If we were going to exhaustively study the concept of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure we would go years and years and years. And all of us are still learning about Him. But I'm trusting God that the things that we study over the next few weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, however long the Holy Spirit guides us, this will be things that will add to our lives. This will be things that will impart not just the knowledge of God, but even the experience of God and the experience of the Holy Spirit to our very lives. Can somebody say amen? All right, that's a lot of introduction. That's a lot of introduction, and I think I'm done with my introduction now. All right, we're going to get into, this is the first thing we're studying, we're talking about, some of the most important things that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about regarding the Holy Spirit and His experience with Him and the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life of believers. And all of this will be in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, a lot of the scriptures we're going to read tonight and possibly through this segment of it, maybe a week or 2 weeks as we go into it, will be mostly from the book of John. I usually tell people, if you're not sure where to start reading the Bible from, if you're not sure you want to have a daily reading program, you're not sure with which of the books in the Bible, start from the Gospel of John. Gospel according to John. That's one of the richest revelatory books in the entire Bible. And so a lot of what we're going to even read about the Holy Spirit, not everything, but most of it tonight, will be in the Gospel according to John. All right, I have another note here that I've got to read before we jump to our very first one in John chapter 3. The Holy Spirit, listen to these words, the Holy Spirit was instrumental in orchestrating our new birth and salvation. Is anybody out there born again? You're born again, you're saved. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. Wave your hands at me. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm born again. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit was instrumental in orchestrating our new birth and salvation, and he is instrumental in orchestrating every aspect of our spiritual walk with God. Let's say that just one more time before we start reading. The Holy Spirit was instrumental in orchestrating our new birth and salvation. So that means the Holy Spirit was right there at the beginning. We could not have been saved without the Holy Spirit. We could not have been born again. We could not have come to God, be reconciled, be reunited with Him. And hence, we couldn't have a spiritual life today without the Holy Spirit. We couldn't be saved. We couldn't be born again without the Holy Spirit. He was instrumental in orchestrating our new birth and salvation. And He is instrumental in orchestrating every aspect of our spiritual walk with God. So everything we're going to experience in our relationship with God going forward into the future of our lives will be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So glory to God. Let's dive into the Word of God and begin our study. Amen. Let's start from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and let's read from verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 8. John chapter 3, from verse 1. It says, then there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Amen. That's Nicodemus telling the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, the evidence is everywhere that you are sent from God. You are sent from God. You are God's messenger. You are divine and you are truth. And he said, because no one can do all these things that you're doing except the Lord is with him. He's right. He was right. There's no way, there's no possibility that any human being could have done all the things the Lord Jesus Christ did without God being with him. Now, I want you to listen to how the Lord answered him. Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man or woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't even see it, let alone enter into it, let alone experience it. He can't see it. He can't perceive it. He can't envision it. He can't experience it. Hallelujah. And in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? You see, he's thinking natural. When the Lord said, except a man or woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Immediately, Nicodemus' mind went to, how is that even possible? How can someone go back into his mother's womb when he's already been born the first time? But you see, there is the natural birth, and then there is the spiritual birth. And everything spiritual that any human being on this earth will experience, whether it is spiritual birth with the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here, or whether it be spiritual growth or whether it be spiritual liberation from yokes, deliverances, whether it be spiritual upliftment, spiritual promotion, whether it be spiritual attainments to heights, whatever spiritual experience any human being has on this earth is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So Nicodemus is thinking natural, which is understandable, because that's all he knows. So when he hears the Lord Jesus Christ talking about you must be born again, think about this. He's a religious leader. The Bible tells us that in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he was a religious leader. He was an orthodox religious leader. But everything about him was natural. The only understanding he had in his life was natural. He didn't understand spiritual things. He didn't even know that there's a spiritual world. He certainly was a servant of God, because you heard what he said. No one, he said to the Lord in verse 2, you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these miracles that you do except God would be with us. So he knew God. Like many people in our world today, they know God, they know the concept of God. They understand, yes, there's a divine being somewhere maybe up there. There's certainly a divine being who is responsible for a lot of what's going on in our world. I'm blessed. So he knew that. Nicodemus knew that. However, Nicodemus had no concept whatsoever about the spiritual life and the spiritual experience. And that's very interesting to me, and this might be very interesting to you as well. Because how do we even serve God when we don't have any concept, we don't have any understanding, we don't have any grasp, any knowledge of spirituality? How do we even truly serve God? And we know there's a scripture in John 4, I hope we get to that tonight, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, how does someone like Nicodemus, who is a religious leader, a religious ruler, an orthodox leader who knows the scriptures, knows the Torah, and he teaches the people, he leads the people in the temple and all of that, but he has no concept of spiritual things. How does such a person even experience God? It's impossible, practically. It is impossible. And so the Lord, hallelujah. And so this is really the starting point. And that's why I wanted us to start out from this scripture right here. This is ground zero of our spiritual life and our spiritual experience with God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, if you are not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And obviously, he's not talking about natural birth, which Nicodemus was thinking about. Because Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's thinking natural. But in verse 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So in verse 3, he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he says, unless a man or a woman is born of water and of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we also see right there from this series, this couple of scriptures that we're reading right here in John chapter 3, there is seeing the kingdom of God, and there is entering into the kingdom of God. And obviously, they are two different things. Because if they were one and the same thing, the Lord Jesus Christ would not refer to them separately and give different conditions for attaining unto those experiences. We also understand that what Nicodemus understood about life generally was entirely natural, and the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to him here, no, there is something way beyond natural. There's something way beyond the natural in the human experience. There is something way, 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 way beyond the natural in the human experience, and it's spiritual. And the person who is at the root of that, the person who is instrumental in orchestrating that in the life of every human being, is the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. The Holy Spirit, we said that earlier, the Holy Spirit was instrumental in orchestrating our new birth and our salvation, and he is instrumental in orchestrating every aspect of our spiritual walk with God. Now, let's focus for a minute. So we know you have to be born again. Hallelujah. And I believe most of us who are joining this Bible study tonight from wherever are probably already born again. So praise God for that. And if there is someone who is not born again, all you need to do is invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and say, Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I know that I've sinned against you. It's not because you keep a list of the sins that I commit. No, it is because I was born with a sinful nature. And because I was born with the sinful nature of Adam, I know I am completely separated from you without Jesus. But Jesus died for my sins. He was killed. He was buried. On the third day, he rose up for my justification. So I don't need to remain separated from you. I desire to be reconciled with you. So Lord, I declare today, I confess that I'm a sinner, but I also confess that I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was raised up for my justification. So Lord, I repent of every sin and I invite you into my life. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. I renounce sin and I renounce Satan. And in the name of Jesus, I accept Jesus into my life tonight as my Lord and my Savior. I give him my life entirely. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you because from this moment onwards, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm justified. I'm redeemed. And I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody said, Pastor, what was that? That was you just became born again. Yeah, I know. I know many of us might think, oh, you know, most people who are listening, who join our Bible studies are born again. Yeah, you're right. I think so too. But who knows? There might be someone backsliding. Who knows? There might be someone 30 years from today, 5 years from today, 2 years from today, who gets a hold of this teaching somewhere in the world. It's a blessing and a benefit, certainly a privilege for them to have had the opportunity to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's you who just took that step, congratulations and welcome into the kingdom of God. But being born again is the first step. And even for that first step to have happened, the Holy Spirit orchestrated that. He was instrumental in bringing that to pass, right? Because the Holy Spirit led you to be a part of this service tonight so you could hear his word, right? So you could pray that prayer. He softened your heart and you yielded to him, you prayed that prayer, now you're born again. So he's instrumental in you taking that step. But beyond that, even beyond that, the Lord Jesus Christ describes a second experience in verse 5. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Then he said in verse 6, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You notice there, by the way, in verse 6, he said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So, to be born of the Spirit is really the ground zero of having a spiritual life and having a spiritual experience with God. He described it right there. "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now we know when we're born again, we see the kingdom of God. Suddenly the scales fall from our eyes. We suddenly see what is available in Christ. We suddenly see the newness of life that is possible, that God through Jesus Christ has made available to every human being. Amen. We see that. But then the Lord is telling us that, but there's beyond that. There's something beyond that. There's an experience beyond that. And he says, when you are born of water, which is the word of God, and when you are born of the Spirit, then you can enter into the kingdom of God. So what you see in verse 3, what you see regarding the kingdom of God can actually become a lived experience, a lived out experience. It can become your new reality. It doesn't have to be just a new vision. It doesn't have to be just something new that you are aware about. It can actually be your new experience. You can enter into the kingdom of God. And everything that the kingdom of God promises, the good life, the God life, the blessed life, hallelujah, a life of victory over sin, a life of victory over failure, a life of victory over sickness, a life of victory over poverty, a life of victory over demonic Satan and all of his demonic cohorts, a life of victory in this life over the world. Hallelujah. You can actually enter into the kingdom of God. Even while you are living on this earth, you can have the experience of someone who is experiencing heaven. Someone who is experiencing the reality of heaven, even while you are on this earth. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. It will not be perfect. Yes, it will not be complete. That happens when we go over to heaven, when we meet with the Lord and we sit at his, we arrive at his feet, then perfection will happen then. Hallelujah. Yes, we know that. But we can enter into a little bit of heaven that is available to us on this earth. As a matter of fact, we can enter into a lot of heaven that is available to us on this earth. Glory be to God. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Now, so notice here in verse 6, he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So when we were born by our parents, when we came into this world naturally, we took on flesh. That's flesh. That's different. But when we became born of the Spirit, we are born of the Spirit when we become born again. We are born of the Spirit when we become produced by the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to go as far as talking about being filled by him yet. I don't want to go as far as talking about being baptized by him yet, because that's not where we are. We're talking about being birthed by him, by the water, which is the word of God, and by the Holy Spirit, who is the orchestrator, the one who orchestrates everything about our spiritual life. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of notes to you here from one of my one of my favorite scholars, Bible scholars. It is very important to keep in mind when the Bible says we're born of water, born of the Spirit, it's not necessarily talking about baptism. You might find a few notes and water baptism. You might find a few notes and a few commentaries that actually suggest that being born of water is water baptism and all of that. And we're not going to go into that. It's not a controversy, but we're not going to go into that conversation, that discussion, because that's not our focus, and I don't want us to get sidetracked. We're going to stay focused on studying about and getting to know and getting more acquainted with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord talked about being born of water and being born of the Spirit. Actually, a couple of scriptures before I read this note here. If you look at, turn there, while you are in verse 5 or verse 6 of John chapter 3, look real quickly at Titus chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5. Sorry, let's look at verse 3. We're going to read verse 3 to 7. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and from verse 3 to 7, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." I hope you're awake. you're awake, right? Because this is very important. We're laying our foundation to study and to learn and to get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit. So, it can be natural sometimes to feel sleepy around. But, you know, just get up and walk. Walk around. If you need to go wash your face, you know. But let's study this. Amen. Let's study this. Let's be around the Word of God together. I'm the one doing the talking, and you are the one doing the listening. But actually, the Holy Spirit is instructing all of us. So as I'm talking, as you are listening, right here, he's talking to me. I'm hearing some things he's saying right where you are. If you stay alert and if you stay awake, he'll speak to you as well. Amen. Look at that. He says, "For we ourselves," Titus, this is Titus chapter 3 from verse 3, "we ourselves," this is what we used to be like before we became born again, before we came into Christ. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Verse 4, "But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." How? One, by the washing of regeneration, that's being born of water. And two, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, that is being born by the Holy Spirit. Let's say that again. Right. So we did not get saved by our righteous works. We didn't get reconciled to God because, oh, we were the best people in our neighborhood, in our community. We did everything. We were prim and proper. We were near perfection in our lives. And people knew us like, wow. You know, if you're looking for the people, the best people, the people who do everything right, man, our names will be at the top of their list. Well, the Bible is saying that's not how we got saved. Because we know in the book of Romans, it says that righteousness like filthy rags. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. Yeah, praise the Lord. Grace will produce good works in our lives after we become saved. Not before. The grace of God will produce righteous living in our lives after we are born again. Because before we are born again, we did not even have the power to live righteously. No matter how much grace God gave us, we just did not have the ability to live right, to be pleasing to God, to be righteous, to be in right standing. Remember, you know, when we pray that sinner's prayer, or led those brothers, those sisters to Christ this evening, We didn't say, Lord, we didn't say, oh, come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know how good I've been, how well I've lived, and so now I qualify to be saved. No, that's not how we get saved. We get saved by accepting the finished work of the cross. That's how we get saved, and that's how we experience the kingdom of God. None of us experiences the kingdom of God by our own works. Yes, grace will produce good works. Amen. But our righteousness outside of Christ is like filthy rags. None of us qualifies. None of us can be pleasing to God by our own ability or our own righteousness. None of us could ever measure up to the will of God, to the counsel of God for our lives, by our own righteousness. It takes the righteousness of God. So look, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by, one, the washing of regeneration, and two, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. This is so awesome, man. And I love it when the Holy Spirit, the teacher himself, just gets into these, our services and our meetings and our Bible studies and our, you know, the things we do, and he himself begins to teach us. You know, I don't have this written anywhere in my Bible. I'm looking all over. I don't see it. But do you realize we came from John chapter 3 and verse 5? That's where we were. John chapter 3 and verse 5. And let's see what that says again. It said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's John chapter 3 and verse 5. And here we are, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Go back there again. John chapter 3 verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 verse 5. Here we are now in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He said right there, not by works of righteousness. That's not how we are saved. That's not how we come into the kingdom of God, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the water and the Spirit, which we saw in John chapter 3 and verse 5. We are born by the water and by the Spirit. So if we are born by the water and by the Spirit, we are spirit. If we are born by blood and water and flesh, we are flesh. Right? Amen. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Well, what are we talking about tonight? We're not talking about being born of the flesh. That's not our focus. We're not interested tonight, for the course of our Bible study for the next few weeks, we're not interested in what happens when we are born of the flesh. Has a whole different set of discussions, and I'm sure in our schools of learning, there's a lot of information about this. Amen. But we are talking tonight about what it means to be born of the Spirit. What it means to be born of water. Actually, what it means to be born of the Spirit. Because when we are born of the Spirit, then we are spirit, it says. But it's good to also understand, we're not just born of the Spirit. When we are born of the Spirit, we're also born of water. There's water, the Word of God plays a role in that. Amen. The Word of God plays a role in that. That's awesome. But notice here, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Do you see right here that right through our Christian lives, this process of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit is ongoing. And the process of washing, of regeneration by the Word of God is ongoing. You see there in Ephesians 5 where the Bible refers to how Christ washes the church. He cleanses the church by his word, by the washing of water, by the word of God. That's how the church is. It's an ongoing process. And you and I know, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I feel so excited in my spirit, even in this first lesson that we have tonight, everything Holy Spirit, how we're just laying foundation. And you know, sometimes laying foundation can be arduous, can be an arduous task, may not really be too, may not be too fun, too much fun, right? It's sometimes a lot of work just to lay a solid foundation. But even in this process tonight of laying a foundation for our series of lessons on the Holy Spirit, I'm just so excited. I'm seeing how the Holy Spirit himself is orchestrating things. He's just moving and speaking and leading. We went from John 3:5 to Titus 3:5, and they are saying almost exactly the same thing. And the Holy Spirit tonight pointed that out. I'm sure at some point, many of us have known that. I'm sure at some point we've believed it, we've even studied this. But there's nothing anywhere, not in notes, not in my Bible anywhere. The Holy Spirit just brought that up to my recollection, to my remembrance. That's what he does. I don't think we get to those scriptures tonight, but that's who he is. That's who he is, our teacher. He's our paraclete. He's our comforter. He's the one who is always with us. He's around us and he's inside us. Hallelujah. Everything Holy Spirit. Say that with me tonight. Everything Holy Spirit. Say it again. Everything Holy Spirit. Look at that verse again. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing. Notice it, renewing is an ongoing thing. Renewing is present continuous. Renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we are born of the Spirit and we are born of water. Because we're born of the Word of God. We are regenerated by the Word of God. And we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And look at that, it says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, glory. That being justified by his grace. Somebody say, I'm justified. You know what it means to be justified? It means you are made righteous. You need how to work for it. He just made you righteous. You know, like how you make things, you get some potty, you make an image. That's how we're made righteous. He just made us righteous. Somebody say with me, I'm made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. I am made righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of his grace and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Glory to God. Glory, glory be to God. Glory be to God. And not only that, the Holy Spirit continues. You know, the Bible says because we are saved, he has given us his Holy Spirit, so that we can say, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6, I think that is. Galatians 4:6. Look at that real quick. Galatians 4:6. We're talking about being born of the Spirit. This is the ground zero of every spiritual life, every spiritual future, every spiritual experience that any child of God will ever have. This is the ground zero. We are born of the Holy Spirit. We are born by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit life because of the presence and because of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, and because you are sons, oh hallelujah, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. That's the Holy Spirit. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's an endearment. There's an endearment that every child of God is entitled to. There's an endearment that every believer is entitled to. It's the Holy Spirit that creates that endearment. It's an endearment that we have between us and our Heavenly Father. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit that stirs that endearment. He is the one who He initiates it, He births it, He creates it, and He makes it a reality in our lives where we can say Abba Father. Abba Father just means dear daddy. It just means Abba. It means, you know, it's an endearing word and a word of endearment between us and our Father. And it's the Holy Spirit that's responsible for creating that. We say Abba Father because the Holy Spirit is in our heart. Let's read this in the Amplified. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, and because you really are His sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, bond servant, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. We're heirs. We're fellow heirs, we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. Amen. He witnesses. And of course, you know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, he says, the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God, we are children of God. So when we have been born of the Spirit, when we have been renewed, been regenerated, and when we have come into this new life of the Holy Spirit, and we have a spiritual walk and a spiritual experience and a spiritual life in our walk with God the Father, then because of the work of the Holy Spirit, there is an endearing relationship that then begins to be cultivated between us and the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the one who orchestrates that. No wonder these words that I said earlier, the Holy Spirit was instrumental in orchestrating our new birth and salvation. And He is instrumental in orchestrating every aspect of our spiritual walk with God. I'm almost out of time tonight. Hallelujah. We're just getting started. Amen. We're going to close in just a couple of minutes here. But I wanted to read Finis Dick and a couple of his comments here from John chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, water is used in a figurative sense of salvation. He has a couple of scriptures there. You know, in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3, he says that we will draw out of the wells with joy, we will draw out of the wells of salvation. Water is used in a figurative sense of salvation of the Spirit baptism, and we'll get to that as we go, and of the cleansing by the Word of God. I've already alluded to that tonight, John 15, verse 3, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. So there's an ongoing cleansing by the Word of God. He says, since men are cleansed and born again by the Word, James 1:18, 1 Peter 1:23, it is clear that being born of water means being born again by the Word of God. And being born of the Spirit is being born and being renewed through our deeper acquaintance with the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the one who orchestrates everything about our new life. That's why we started with that scripture tonight. He's the one who orchestrates everything about our new life. Our being born of the Spirit is the ground zero of everything that will eventually take place in our spiritual life. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit. We are born of Him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We are renewed by Him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He witnesses in our hearts and helps us develop this endearing relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we can say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Would you thank God for the Holy Spirit with me tonight as we close out this service? Father, thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for starting us off in our series of lessons, in our series of studies, and in our series of discussions tonight on everything Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, everyone that has joined us tonight, and those that will join this service at a later time. Lord, let the blessing of God that we have received, that we have encountered in this service, be their portion. I thank you for it. Precious Holy Spirit, we bless your name. Thank you for being with us, for directing us, for guiding us. Lord, Father, receive all the glory and receive all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen.